We're still in Romans 8. We're almost done, but just this chapter's got a lot in it, and I just wanted to be thorough. So away we go again. Can we go to 8:32, please, Luann? I remember the Bible bus with J. Vernon McGee, and he went through it for years and years, like a five-year Bible bus. So I can understand why. There's just so much in it, and I think every trip that you take on the bus, every 5 years, you still get more out of it. You still see more things along the way. It's never the same road, never the same trip. So there's just an infinite amount of stuff in the Lord's Word, amen? But 8:32 is, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And what he's saying here is, of course, Paul is instructing us about the generosity of our Lord, of our God. He's telling us, look, he gave his own Son. So why wouldn't he give everything else? He gave the most important, the most cherished, the most dear thing to us. And to him, his only begotten Son, he gave him up for us. So why would he not give us freely all other things, including the ability to grab hold and apprehend that which Christ died for? Right? And was also resurrected for. So that's a pretty powerful verse right there. And the logic of it, if you're just if you're in the world, or I'm sure Paul was very skilled in the law, the logic of it is appealing to those that are legalistic as well. It brings something out from the secular wisdom as well as the divine wisdom that Paul speaks about here, right? So, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Now, that word "delivered," that word is the Greek word 3860, and it's paradidomi, and it's to give into the hands of another. It's to give over into one's power or use. Whose power or use? It's our use. We're able to use the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for our own salvation if we but apprehend it and truly take this seriously and grab hold of it. It's our choice. It is finished, but we still have a decision to make whether or not we wish to grab hold of it. And all the things that we are confronted with day to day, all the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and all the dilemmas that we find ourselves in, and all the good things that we find ourselves in as well, the good, the bad, the indifferent, all those things, he wants to be a part of it in our lives. He wants to be the Lord and Master of all things. And we'll talk about the Lord and Master of all things shortly. Now, it's to deliver to one something, to keep, use, take care of, and manage. And we talked about this. So, he has been delivered to one, that would be the body, something, that's Jesus Christ, to keep, use, and take care of, and manage. We are to keep, use, and take care of, and manage that precious gift that he gave us, that gift of salvation that we have. How do we keep, use, and take care of that and manage it? I would say that we actually implement it into those things that we walk in day to day, those circumstances that we find ourselves in again. And the good, the bad, and the indifferent. We implement the Lord Jesus Christ into those deliberately and with purpose and with diligence. We do it consciously. God help us to do it subconsciously if we, in our carnality, perhaps, forget to bring him in consciously. And he will do that. The Spirit within us will utter those things that we cannot of our own accord utter for ourselves. We know this to be true, right? We know this isn't the Word. We just talked about this last week, I believe. So to keep, use, take care of, and manage. Take care of. Like when we take care of our car, we wax it perhaps, or I don't wax it very often to be candid with you, but to wash it, anything that we have, our horses, and we take care of our horses, we feed them, we manage our animals so that they're healthy. We give them shots to keep the disease away. So the things that we do to manage those things that we find precious in our little orb, in our little world, and we do that so that they remain viable and they remain useful to us. We know from Romans 1 that those that don't walk in this, their consciousness will be seared. We know this, don't we? It says that. The Bible tells us this, that they've become of reprobate. They have reprobate minds. They did not keep, use, take care of, or manage that gift that was given to them. They walked the other way. They walked in rebellion. They took that broad path. Instead of that narrow path, they took that broad path, right? So in all of this, we take care of and we manage that gift that He gave us. And we manage it by using it, by employing it in our day-to-day walk in those things that are good, bad, or indifferent, or precious to us, or all of the above. So we deliver, another thing for that word delivered is to deliver up one to custody, to be judged, condemned, punished, scourged, tormented, put to death. This, of course, is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ's death and His passion when He was delivered for us. It's to deliver up treacherously. Judas comes to mind, of course. By betrayal, to cause one to be taken. To deliver one to be taught or molded. Now, to deliver one to be taught or molded. Is Christ being taught or molded? I don't think so. But if we are in Christ, are we being taught and molded? If Christ is in us, have we been delivered with Him? If we are in Him and He is in us, have we been delivered also to be taught and molded? And I think we have. I think we definitely have. When we are in Him, we are that potter's clay. We are being molded for those purposes every single day that we walk in again. Those good things, those bad things, those dilemmas, those circumstances, those precious things, those indifferent things, whatever it is, God has a purpose in those things. And all things work for the glory of God to those that love Him, right? So, when He was delivered, He was delivered so that we too would be taught and molded. He was there. He was perfected so that our sins might be redeemed by and through His death and resurrection on the cross. Amen? So, it's to commit, to commend, this word deliver, delivered Him up. It's all together, delivered Him up. It's to deliver verbally. It's to deliver commands or rights. To deliver by narrating, to report. It gives itself up. It presents itself. Who was that? That was Jesus, right? So in that context, it's Jesus delivering Himself up. We know that His angels would be there in a snap around Him if He so ordained that or so determined that that is what He wanted. But not my will, Father, but Yours. And this is that perfect will of the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit, the one God, all in all. But it was a perfect will in that group of those entities, that one God. That is the same will that the body must have as we come more and more into Christ and as we come and become that perfect union with Christ. And as we do that, it's not what we want that is important anymore. It's what God wants. It's what the Father wants. So we walk in line with that. We don't walk in line with our carnality or our own selfish desires or our own wants and needs. We walk in line with what God has for us. And again, we know that if we are in Christ, we died and suffered. We suffered and died with Him. And there is an eternal nature to this, that suffering that we sometimes have. I will again bring this up because I think it's a point well worth remembering, is that we are here also to be a light unto the world and to be that salt unto the world. And through this suffering, we may not understand it at the time and we may not like it. We may not wish it to be a portion of ours, but God has a purpose in this. You know, that purpose, that word for purpose in 8:28 is to show the showbread. There is a purpose in this suffering, and it's perhaps to purge something within us, or perhaps it's to be an example to others that need this light shown upon them, right? So our faith is most important so that God's will can be done by and through us. Okay. So we We give, Jesus gives himself up and presents himself, and we do the same thing. We are commanded to give ourselves up and to present ourselves in his perfect love. We are taught and molded by Christ's delivery, by his deliverance, rather, unto his death and resurrection. So he was betrayed, and this looked like a bad thing, but all things work for the glory of God to those that love him, right? This thing was certainly a wonderful thing, a precious thing. By his grace and mercy, we enter into it. So this other thing, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This phrase, shall he not with him also freely give? That whole phrase is the Greek word 5483. And it's taken from the root word, I believe, grace. I think it's derived from grace. Charis, or the word here is charizomai. It's to do something pleasant or agreeable to one, to do a favor to gratify, to show oneself gracious, kind, benevolent, to grant forgiveness, pardon, to give graciously or give freely or bestow. It's to forgive, to graciously restore one to another, to preserve one, a person in peril. Now, we are all in peril if we are not in Christ, because we know that the wages of sin is death. So, shall he not with him also freely give? All of these things, all of these aspects of God's love for us are found in that phrase. Shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So it's to forgive, to graciously restore, or graciously to restore one to another. So he's restoring his creation unto him, isn't he? He restored humanity back to the position that he always wanted them to be. It is finished. But will humanity accept it? Do we individually and as a corporate body accept it? He preserved for one a person in peril. He preserved for himself, because of his great love for us, our persons that were in peril. Our persons no longer remain in peril by our acceptance of that free gift that he has given us, that death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are in peril are those that walk away from it. I don't think we can argue about that. Can we go to 833, please, Lynn? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In view of 832, what we just spoke about, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. So, for anyone, you know, we judge not lest we be judged. For anyone to lay something on us, we contravene God's declaration that we are as we ought to be. We contravene his declaration that we are righteous. We contravene his declaration that we will be justified by the blood of the Lamb, and we will be justified by his resurrection into eternal life. So, can anyone, if anyone does lay anything to the charge of God's elect, it's in direct rebellion to what God has already said, what God has already declared. He has said, we are his, he loves us, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when he says that, and we believe that, and we walk in that, no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. If God be for us, who could be against us? Isn't this right? So how can we say, how can anyone legitimately, if they are informed, lay anything to God's elect? They cannot, because he has delivered us. And God's elect, his chosen, are those that have received this. So that is us. So we have nothing to be in fear about. And this, there's a notion about perfection here. There's oftentimes in the world, they'll tell you, well, you're God's, you're a Christian, huh? Or you're God's chosen, or you're a Bible thumper, or you... You say you love the Lord. Well, what about this? What about that? They point to imperfections. But those things are not our portion. Those things are not ours, and those things are passing. God will have His perfect way in His elect, in His chosen. And as we walk more and more in Him, these things of old, that old man passes away, and the new man comes into being more and more and more and more and more. Now, that might connote the notion of a process, that we are walking out of something. But as we walk out of this, out of these things that have beset us or that beset humanity, we are not condemned. So we need not take to heart any condemnation that is brought by anyone, because He does not condemn. So this is the good news, is it not? Amen. So, who shall lay anything to God's elect? The quote-unquote shall lay anything, that's the Greek word 1458, enkareo. Yeah, enkareo. It's to come forward as accuser against, bring charge against, or be accused. And the audacity of the Pharisees comes to mind when they brought those charges against our Lord. It's the same thing when they brought those charges against Stephen. All the martyrs and anyone that has suffered persecution to a greater or lesser extent because of God. There are accusers. There are things that will be brought against you. And they will try to destroy your testimony. And they will try to say you're not perfect. How can you say you're a Christian if you're not perfect? I never claimed to be perfect. The one that is perfect is my Lord Jesus Christ. And when I am in Him, then I am perfect. But if I lean onto my own understanding, I am not perfect. Isn't this true? So, we don't even have to respond to those accusations. We are not condemned, and we don't have to feel guilt about being less than perfect yet. We do have to feel a sense of urgency or responsibility to put those things away, though. Because God says, incorruption shall put on immortality. So anything that is corruptible shall not put on immortality. So we must be mindful of those things. But we don't do it to the extent that we are hopeless in our process. Because we are not hopeless in our process. Amen? We have our God that can deliver us and that can redeem us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, here's the elect that we were talking about, right? And this is the Greek word elektos. It's 1588. It's pushed out, or picked out, chosen by God to obtain salvation through Christ. Christians are called chosen or elect of God. The Messiah is called elect as appointed by God to the most exalted office conceivable. This is from the Concordance, of course. The word elect it means choice, select, i.e. the best of its kind or class. Excellence, preeminent, applied to certain individual Christians. So it's like first fruits, perhaps. But we can all be the elect. God doesn't respect a person, right? It is that righteousness that we have within us that God will respect. And that righteousness is born again by Christ's redemption that we have within us. Christ redeemed our sins. They are on Christ's account. And when we are in Him and He is in us, all those sins have been paid for. So we have to meditate on these things and chew on these things. And I think we all do. I believe that we do. Okay. Justifieth. It is God that justifieth. And we've talked about this throughout Romans. It's a wonderful principle of Romans. And it's a wonderful principle to show the extent of God's love. Even when we were in the worst, let's say the pig pen. We'll talk about the prodigal son for a minute. Even when we were in the slop of sin, he still loved us enough to send his only begotten son so that we might be saved if we would but believe in him. So to render righteous or such as he ought to be is this word again. It's the Greek word 1344, dikaioho. It's to show, exhibit, evince one to be righteous, such as he is and wishes himself to be considered. Now remember the showbread again. I find that a very powerful illustration of what he wants for us. But when he shows us to be righteous as we ought to be, it is that perfect, unblemished first offering that he wants to show. And we are a part of that, if we wish to be. If we walk in this, if we grab hold of this, if we apprehend it. Because it is finished, but it is ours to apprehend. It is ours to take and employ and to manage and to take care of. These are the things that he says, right? In that word deliverance. So these things, it's not something that happens magically. It's something that we are deliberate and diligent and sober-minded about and we put into practice every day. Now, it's to declare, pronounce one to be just, righteous, or such as he ought to be. Now, there is power in the word. God declared that the earth would be created, and it was. God declared that the oceans would be created, and then they were. God declared the firmament, right? God declared that man would be created. And all these things that he created, it was declaration. Now he has a new testament, a new declaration at Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. He declares us righteous as we ought to be, as he always intended us for us to be. And this gap between carnality and the spirit man is now bridged. Now we can walk across this bridge. We can walk across the back of our big brother Jesus, right? We now enjoy those blessings of the first fruits of our dear, dear, dear Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we walk across this. And we do it in faith. Because righteousness is born by faith. Amen? 8:34, please. So who is he that condemneth? Again, this notion of people picking at us. Who's picking at us? Who's telling us that we're not good enough? It is Christ that died. Christ said we're good enough. He said he declared us to be righteous. So it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So he doesn't condemn us. He said, I have not come to condemn. I have come so that we might live and might have life and have that more abundantly, right? So he wants us to have lots of life. And I think Al has spoken about this abundance of life before. And it escapes me the depth of what he said, but perhaps he can illuminate us again in the future, perhaps, or now even if he wants to. Well, thank you, Al. That's a portion of the depth I was looking for. We don't have time to go into all of this, I'm sure, but there's a lot to be said about that, right? I mean, it's infinite. That life is infinite. And that abundance is infinite. It's like that joint heirs concept that we talked about. We all get to occupy the same territory because we're all joint owners of what God has left for us. And we all get to possess it equally with the same rights and same blessings in that possession, right? So that's that abundance that we don't have an appreciation for it in our physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, there is an abundance that passeth all understanding, I think. And we will see it. But we look forward to that day, don't we? And it is here now, to an extent, that we want to grab hold of it. I think that God's healing, for example, is one of those things that we see. That abundance of life. Who am I talking to, Al? Right? You know about that. And Jerry, I still think about Jerry and her cancer, deliverance from cancer. I mean, you know, we can grab hold of this inheritance right now. We don't have to wait for it. Kingdom of God is at hand, right? So these are wonderful things to contemplate as we walk through. I do. I love thinking about them because it helps me to be stronger in my walk day to day. I told Natalie on the way here, I said, Natalie, listen. I said, the reason we're going to church is that We want to be with those that believe like us. We want to be with our Christian brothers and sisters so that they can strengthen us for what we experience outside of church. I said it's very easy to say what we say in church, but what are we going to do in school? What am I going to do at work? How do we handle those things? And I said, why we go to church is so that we contemplate these things and we think about them when we're walking through these things, good, bad, or indifferent, right? And these precious things that we walk through that God wants to be a part of. Do we involve them? And so this is our exhortation, our encouragement from the brethren that we would, in fact, involve him. And so forsake not the assembly of the brethren, right? Because we are strong when we're together, right? I think that's all I'm going to say for today because it's already 10 after, and I could go on for sure. But thank you all for listening. The Lord bless and keep you.